Okay. Siri, just real quick, like I got a text from Director Askew. If we don't need her due to quorum, oh, there she is. Okay, there we go. So she had asked if we had had quorum. Oh, okay. So I guess, are you just going to wait, Director Askew? We'll see.
I'm good for the next 30 minutes.
Oh, okay. Okay, sorry. Okay, maybe I, okay, good. Okay, cool.
And Mr. Chair, I don't know if anyone else said as she's getting in, but there was saying the host had another meeting or something.
Yes,
yeah.
Just ended 30 seconds ago.
Yes, our budget personnel and nominating committee meeting went the full hour. So yeah, it's all good. It was riveting. Get excited. We got a lot of good stuff here. Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I think we have quorum, right, Siri? You might
count. Seven is good. Quorum.
All right, good. Well, I just want to welcome everybody to the Monterey Bay Air Resources District meeting for April 20th, 2022. We'll go ahead and get started and go ahead and call the roll, Siri.
And this is the special board meeting.
Yes, thank you for that clarification. Special board meeting so that we can have our meeting.
Okay, roll call. Director Kosmicki.
Here.
Director Carbone.
Here.
Director Coonerty is excused absent. Director Friend.
Here.
Thank you. Director Labar.
Present.
Thank you. Director Lopez, excused absent. Sheer McShane.
Here.
Director Askew.
Here.
Director Phillips is excused absent. Director Story.
Here.
Director Brown.
Here.
We have quorum, sir.
Thank you. We'll start with our first item there, and that is the minutes from the special meeting, February 16th, 2022. Start with directors. Anybody have questions or wish to flag anything? Don't see anything. I don't see any hands. See, Siri, any comments?
No comments received.
I'm sorry to interrupt. I recommend you start with the AB 361 findings so you can meet remotely.
I appreciate that. Why don't we go ahead and then just reverse those two items? So we will start with the AB 361 requirements and continued remote meetings item and that approval. So between Les, if you care to tee it up, or Rich. Yes.
Thank you,
go ahead.
Chair. The findings that need to be made are that the governor's proclamation of state of emergency continues in effect. The board has reconsidered the circumstances of the emergency, and the county health officer continues to advise social distancing during legislative body meetings, which he does, and recommend a vote on making those findings.
Terrific. Okay. Any questions from directors?
I'll move approval.
Okay. Is there a second?
Second.
Okay. Seconded by Friend. Just quickly on the public. I don't see anything.
Nothing. Okay, so we'll go ahead.
Thanks, Siri. We'll go ahead and call the roll.
All right. Director Brown.
Aye.
Director Story.
Aye.
Director Askew.
It's an aye.
Thank you. Sorry for everything. Sheer McShane.
Yep.
Director Labar.
Aye.
Director Friend.
Aye.
Director Carbone.
Aye.
Director Kosmicki.
Aye.
Approved unanimously.
Excellent. We'll go back to that that second, or the item preceding it.
Chair, if I could let me just comment real quickly for this information. There are a couple of bills winding their way through Sacramento that would take the place of AB 361. We continue to monitor those. One is to the Committee on Local Government. So we'll let you know the outcome of that. And hopefully at some point we won't have to keep making all these findings.
Thank you very much, Les. Okay, so back to item 3 on the agenda, the minutes from February 16th. We're looking for a motion, or did we have one?
So moved, Carbone.
Okay.
Second, Kosmicki.
Thank you. Okay. And just quickly looking public, no. Siri?
Nothing received at district office.
Great. We'll go ahead and call the roll.
All right. Director Carbone?
Aye.
Director Friend?
Aye.
Director Eskew?
Aye.
Director Kosmicki?
Aye.
Director Labar?
Aye.
Director Brown?
Aye.
Director Story?
Aye.
Chair McShane?
Yes.
Approved unanimously.
Great. And then we just have public comment items not listed on this special meeting agenda. I don't see anybody.
Nothing received at the district office.
Well, we'll adjourn the special meeting, 1:37 p.m., and we'll go ahead and start and call to order the regular meeting of the Board of Directors for the Monterey Bay Air Resources District, Wednesday, April 20th. I want to thank everybody for attending. And as was approved in our special meeting, we are meeting remotely under AB 361. I want to thank everybody for attending and for your patience. So with that, why don't we go ahead and call for the pledge? And Mayor, Director Carbone, would you be willing to lead us?
Pledge allegiance. Go ahead, whenever you're ready.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you very much. Go ahead and when you're ready, Siri, we'll call the roll.
All right. Director Brown.
Here.
Director Phillips is absence excused. Director Eskew.
Here.
Director Story.
Still here.
Director Kosmicki.
Here.
Director Carbone.
Here.
Director Coonerty is excused absence. Okay. Director Friend.
Here.
Director Labar.
Present.
And Chair McShane.
Yes.
Okay, one, two. We have quorum.
Thank you. We'll start with public comment. Items not listed on the agenda. If there's any members of the public, we welcome you. Let's just, I don't see anybody.
Nothing received at the district office.
Thank you. We'll go on to reports by our committee, various committees. And I'll just say that the Budget, Personnel, and Nominating Committee had a special meeting and a regular meeting. We engaged AB 361 and those allowances in our special meeting and approved actions taken at the previous February meeting. And for the regular committee meeting, we went through a robust presentation from PARS. We want to thank them, and I think we'll hear from them more. We also dug in at the budget. That went really well, very detailed, and as we will see as well. You know, these are times where I think, you know, not only is there inflation and raising costs as it relates to fees and such, there's also some opportunities, and that leads to a recommendation made and action taken on some staffing that would supplement ultimately the administration of grants that we are doing quite well with. And I think we will continue to do well with, certainly if the good work of the federal government continues to support clean air. So that's all I have for a report. If there's any questions, I'm happy to answer them. Okay. So with that, we'll just quickly the public.
Don't see. And nothing received at the district office.
Okay, I'll turn it over to Rich. Any comments on our advisory committee?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The advisory committee did not meet this month.
Okay, so then we'll take it back to the board and just ask if any board members have referrals, any comments. Oh, there we have Director Labar.
Thank you, Chair. So I just want to express my appreciation to the Air Resource District and to Richard. At our last meeting was the CTC meeting was going on at the same time, and our King City had $7.5 million grant in front of them for a rail station. The Air Resource District provided a letter of support, and the CTC really appreciated the regional aspect of the support for our project. And I just, again, thank you so much. That was very important. And we appreciate that kind of partnership. And thank you, Richard. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. That's good. Director Carbone, did you have your hand up?
Yes. Yes, I attended a conference as well as Wendy Askew. It was a local government institute, and it was policymakers conference. And I just wanted to mention a couple things that I heard there. Of course, that this California state budget is at $368 billion with a $46 billion surplus growing every day. There was a mention of by a gal, her name was Lori Pepper, and she was speaking on replacement for the gas tax example, a tax break. The question was, should zero emission vehicles get a break on road charge? So it looks like there's going to be a 3-year study in the governor's office. And there's a federal infrastructure bill of $383.7 million for EV charging stations throughout the state, looking to work smarter and better together to design standards to deploy these stations. So this all has to do with air quality, and mentioned was Monterey Salinas Transit and Sacramento RT were both doing pilot programs with the payment cards where they're multifunctionally using Visa, MasterCard, and contactless readers, and doing away with cash box, creating digital relationships with the government. Also, with powering our communities, there's an advanced clean energy SB 1383 organic waste diversion and procurement bill to start buying renewable energy and focus on a 60% goal of renewable energy in 2 years. This is to curb transportation emissions and build more housing closer to jobs. So I just wanted to put that out there where there was a whole lot more, but I thought that since that pertained to air quality, that I would provide that here to this board. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, it sounds like it was a very valuable conference, so thank you. Okay, is there anybody else that has comments or anything else they'd like to report on or any referrals? See any? Thank you. We'll go on to our report from our APCO. Rich?
Great. Thank you, Chair McShane, members of the board. Good afternoon. First of all, I'd like to apologize. I'm going to have to leave the meeting in a few minutes to moderate a Zoom panel on the health effects of wildfire smoke. This is part of a natural virtual conference infocast series entitled Protecting Your City from Wildfire Smoke. I may be available. I actually pre-recorded this last couple of weeks ago, and then I have to be on for question and answers. So if something comes up, you can certainly get a hold of me during the meeting. I'll just run quickly through our engineering and compliance division. We mailed and emailed our notice to permit holders in both English and Spanish, informing them of the proposed fee rule changes for fiscal year 22-23. The staff report and proposed fee rule changes are posted also on our website. The Title V permit for Monterey One Water is the final EPA 45-day review period, which ends on May 2022. We will be issuing the permit at the end of this review period, and this is the federal air operating permit, which we're delegated by EPA to issue. We're going to acquire a cloud-based software tool that will connect our Acela permit database to LaserFish. This will enable us to upload documents in Acela and then automatically transfer into the document folders in our repository in LaserFish. This is really sort of probably in the weeds, but we're going to be improving our file efficiency and eliminating the need to separately file documents in LaserFish, and it will ensure documents in Acela are saved to our electronic filing system. We've interviewed applicants for the air quality inspector position opening and hope to make an offer really soon. And then our standing item, we've received one odor complaint on April 12th from a marina resident and followed our procedure to reach out to the potential odor sources. No specific odor source was identified at that time. Planning and air monitoring, our electric vehicle incentive program is moving right along. We've received and approved 205 applications. We've got about $160,000 remaining in that account. And our bicycle program is also taking off, considering we only had a few months ago. Right now, we've approved 21 applications, and we've got about $29,000 left in that account as well. Three seasonal San Lorenzo Valley monitoring stations, which measure wintertime smoke from fireplaces and wind-burning stoves, have been replaced with our Clarity air sensors. And these are low-cost sensors that are really reliable. And so this is a really good move that will help lessen some of the workload that staff has been seeing with the more robust regulatory monitors. Outreach, we held a virtual public workshop on April 12th for our proposed draft budget for fiscal year 22-23. We also have our newsletter available in Spanish and English on our website. And I just would like to recognize and thank Siri for all your efforts into getting the newspaper published on that page. Lastly, which is a good news, I've been elected to a board of directors of the Western Regional Air Partnership as one of two local agency representatives. The RAP is a voluntary partnership of states, tribes, federal land managers, local air agencies, and US EPA, whose purpose is to understand current and evolving regional air quality issues in the West. The issues include, but aren't limited to, implementation, future planning for regional haze rule, which is especially important to us since we have a number of class one airsheds in our jurisdiction, national parks. Air quality issues related to ozone, particulate matter, nitrogen deposition, critical loads, mercury, and other pollutants. This is important because EPA is expected to lower the national ambient air quality standard for ozone, which would probably put us back into non-attainment. Emission sources from all sectors, both domestic and international, effects of air pollution transport, and effects of climate change on regional air quality. With that, I'll conclude my report and be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Rich. Thank you for your ongoing service at the national and regional level. I'll just very quickly just state, Rich, when I was back in DC lobbying for the city, he set me up with a federal a meeting, and it was just, it was incredible. It was really incredible to see how we could benefit a lot more as a state to get federal funding for our activities. When it comes to national contributions for clean air and the impact of dirty air, there's a huge chasm there. So Rich, your work there is really appreciated. Any questions for Rich on his report? Okay, great. Okay, thank you, Rich, very much. And if you need to jump off, I would imagine Amy, or is there somebody else maybe?
I'll stay on to introduce the UCSC presentation.
Okay, sure. All right, good. Well, then with that, we have five items on the consent agenda. Would anybody like to pull an item from the consent agenda? Okay, seeing none, just quickly going to the public.
No public comments on any of the agenda items received.
Okay, is there a motion for the consent agenda?
I'll move the consent agenda.
Carbone will second.
Moved by Brown, seconded by Carbone. Go ahead and call the roll, Siri.
All right. Director Friend.
Aye.
Director Labar.
Aye.
Chair McShane.
Yeah.
Director Eskew.
Aye.
Director Kosmicki.
Aye.
Director Carbone.
Aye.
Director Story.
Aye.
Director Brown.
Aye.
And that has been approved unanimously.
Great. Okay, time for our regular agenda. We have two presentations and then an action item. And we'll start with that first item, which is a presentation on the UCSC MBARD partnership. Very exciting. Rich, if you'd open that, that'd be great.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the board. I think I received a comment either last meeting or the meeting before, you know, why weren't we doing more with the schools and so forth about educating air quality? Well, we have been doing a lot, and in particular, we've established a partnership with the University of California, Santa Cruz, with two goals in mind. One is workforce development, and also just getting educating the public and doing outreach, especially those folks that are perhaps entering the field of air quality management. And we've taken this opportunity to help fund a course at UCSC. And we are really blessed today to have the professor and two of his students here to give us a presentation on all that they've learned and let you know how successful the course has been and will continue to be. So without further ado, I'll introduce you to Dr. Peter Weiss. He's the gentleman that says Peter Weiss. There's two other Peter Weisses that are students. So I imagine they're sharing the same computer, but I'm really pleased to have Peter here. I should also just mention, and he'll probably say this, but Peter's also helped us with some sensor technology in the past and has been really doing an incredible job at UCSC getting into the air quality management arena. Right now, UC Davis is the go-to school for that. And I would like to see this area become the clean air center of the universe for academia research and also for new technologies and emerging technologies. So Peter, you can share your screen and look forward to the presentation. Okay.
All right, thank you, Richard. Really appreciate the invitation. And I wanted to just explain the class and what we've learned and what we've set up, and then give a chance for my two students to tell you their what they've taken away from the class, and leave you with some future directions that we hope we can continue. So the class is called Air Pollution, and it's called ESI 122. That's the Environmental Sciences major in the Department of Earth and Planetary Sciences. And I'm joined by Jenna Martinez and Michael Wilshire for the presentation today. I'm going to keep it brief to give a chance for them to talk. I want to just give you an overview. California air quality, many of you are probably, you know, somewhat familiar with this. You can see these bars represent the number of days where they've had unhealthy, for sensitive groups, unhealthy or very unhealthy air at these different metropolitan areas in California. And one thing we can notice is that there has been steady air pollution improvements, I mean, largely due to good regulation and improving technologies. But as you can see by the presence of the red bars and certainly the purple bars in some years, unhealthy air is still a problem in California. And the science of air pollution is a rapidly evolving field. It's highly interdisciplinary. It involves chemistry, physics, and you know, a whole host of other fields. And it's important to have a high level training for these young professionals to go out and start careers, and also to inform important policy decisions with organizations like MBARD. And so in addition, UC Santa Cruz scientists are involved with air quality research, including myself, and we are very excited to help to aid policy actions. Okay, so what did we cover in the course? This is an upper division course, so students have had a background of basic chemistry, physics, biology. And we start off by covering just kind of how the world works in terms of the atmosphere, general atmospheric science, evolution, structure, composition. And then we quickly get into the ozone photochemistry problem, cover LA type smog and the history of severe air pollution episodes, lots of chemical reactions. Then we pivot to aerosol particles, which is very timely given all of the forest fires and smoke impacts. And we look at the physics of aerosol particles and also introduce the health effects. Then we talk about meteorology, because of course inversions are really important for air pollution. So what is the science behind atmospheric circulation that affects air quality? Then we get into visibility and optics, scattering, absorption, refraction, talk about rainbows, why is the sky blue, lots of observations explained with detailed chemistry and physics. We talk a bit about acid rain and get into my my particular area of research, which is mercury pollution in terms of atmospheric deposition. And then one of my favorite topics is covering indoor air pollution. When we started the course in 2019, we were talking about things like asbestos and radon. But then, of course, in 2020, the little coronavirus came on the scene, and that became a perfect opportunity to talk about things like aerosol settling times, where we could calculate what is the settling time of different aerosol particles of different sizes, and to evaluate whether the social distancing metric of 6 feet is sufficient. So that became very timely and interesting. And then we finish off the course with a discussion of air pollution policies and regulation. And we're always treated by a wonderful guest lecture by Richard Stedman from Monterey Bay Air Resources District, and exposing the students to potential career opportunities in this field, as well as just painting a larger picture, connecting the detailed science that they've been learning with the larger policy issues that affect everyone's daily lives. The class is not just a stand, you know, lecture class. There's a lot of activities that keep the students engaged. They run a simplified smog model and analyze the numerical output. They compare EPA ozone data with temperature in various cities to see if there's a relationship and might be able to predict effects for climate change. We do a little bit of environmental justice evaluation, different communities in California. This is always a really fun activity. The students get to look at the community where they grew up to see what the Cal Enviro score is for that community. And finally, we do a little hands-on DIY work with these tiny particle sensors that you can build yourself with an Arduino and some wiring, and actually make some indoor and outdoor particulate matter measurements, which you'll hear about more coming up. So let me just take a pause here and introduce Jenna Martinez, who will talk about her research project as part of the class.
Hi, everyone. My name is Jenna Martinez. As Peter mentioned, I'm a fourth year undergraduate environmental science student at UC Santa Cruz. I'll be graduating this summer. So I particularly enjoyed this class with Peter because as a transfer student from Southern California, as soon as I knew I was coming here, this class definitely piqued my interest and I knew I was going to take it at some point. So when the time finally came in fall 2021, I devoted a lot of time to it. I worked with Peter a lot and I just enjoyed the class because I work with pollutants myself in a marine particle biogeochemistry lab. So I look at trace metal pollutants in trophic levels and see how they biomagnify. So of course this appealed to me because I already had an interest in pollutants. So Peter already touched on some of the topics that we covered, but a few of my favorites were the structure and composition of the Earth's atmosphere, indoor air pollution, and pollution in urban areas, air pollution regulations, and the health effects of every kind of air pollution. So this course really just helped to expand further on my interest in environmental pollutants and especially air pollution. So I am, as I mentioned, because I'm currently graduating, I am looking for jobs as an air quality analyst at the moment. And Peter has been so lovely and kind helping me with that. So hopefully I can land a position somewhere like that. So now I'll tell you about my end of quarter project. So I worked on this with two other students in the class, and we focused on the accuracy of the AQI in Santa Cruz. So using the Adafruit sensors provided by Peter, as you can see in this right corner, we were able to calibrate this sensor and then run it during peak rush hour near a busy intersection to measure PM2.5 and PM10 concentrations and compare those to both the purple air sensors, which are sensors that come from a community-based science website. So those can be either indoor or outdoor. And then also we compared those to the AirNow EPA regulated AQI. So what we found was that with the sensor during rush hour, we found that PM2.5 concentrations were significantly greater than the purple air, but lower than the AirNow. And one thing to note here is that AirNow takes the daily average of AQI, whereas purple air and our sensor, you can take different time intervals. So we think that our sensor was likely more accurate than the AirNow report. And yeah, that pretty much sums up my project. And I have a little blurb down there about PM10. We didn't focus too much on that because AirNow didn't have any reports on that, but the PM10 concentrations were higher than the our sensor. And I included a little map. You can see the intersection that we collected from, which is right near the intersection of Mission and Highway 1. So it was pretty busy. Also, I think I forgot to mention it was weekday rush hour. So very, very busy. Thank you for listening. I appreciate your time.
Okay. Thank you, Jenna. I think she got an A. Great project. Now we'll hear from Michael Wilshire.
Yeah. Hi, everyone. My name is Michael. I'm a recent UCSC graduate in the environmental sciences, and currently I work in a hydrology lab on campus, and we look at nutrient cycling and water quality issues at the Elkhorn Slough. I really enjoyed this course, and when I saw it as well, I was very eager to take it. It felt like a good segue into a lot of the more policy-based issues that you see with the environment and pollution, and that was really exciting to get like in the environmental sciences major. And the course really kind of shifted my interest from studying pure science for the sake of science into trying to improve the material conditions of people in American cities through urban planning and sustainable development. Additionally, some of the like meteorological skills that I gained from this course really helped me in my current position because I'd done some coursework with my current boss before, and a lot of the skills I gained in this class transferred over to my coursework later on. So for my end of quarter project, it was remote, so we didn't have the sensors in person, but instead my group looked into understanding how we can fill large gaps in energy with renewable energy today. So we looked at the duck curve, tried to understand the gap in peak demand and production of solar energy. And we kind of looked into how we can combine overbuilding our sustainable energies like wind and interconnecting large power grids from across the country, as well as developing surplus storage to fill these gaps. I don't know, I actually thought it was a cool class too. Really enjoyable, and Peter's always very interesting to hear talk. But yeah, thank you.
Thank you, Michael. Yeah, it real pleasure for me to be able to, you know, open the door a crack to this new topic and have really bright students like Jenna and Michael, like just see the light there and just take off. Like they have so many great ideas, and it was a real pleasure to have them in class. So just outline the benefits of this course. The content is timely and relevant, you know, obviously with these major air pollution episodes that we have across the state and across the world. We have to understand these from a very detailed scientific point of view and see how it relates to policy. This course complements other classes in the ESI major at UCSC. There has never been a course on air pollution offered at UCSC until this one. So it was a very important addition to the curriculum. It provides graduate student training. I've had three graduate students be my TAs for this course over the 3 years, and they have received very important training as TAs. It provides additional career path opportunities for budding environmental scientists, as you just heard, and of course establishes our partnership with MBARD, which we appreciate so much. And the enrollment is growing. We started at 11, and then the pandemic hit, so we didn't have a chance to really advertise. So we stayed at 11, but then the next year we got to 21, and now the word is out that this is a great class, and also the major is growing. So we expect to be at full capacity, which would be around 35 students. Student feedback has been very positive. I just highlighted one that sort of illustrates some of the main benefits of the course to the student. The group work is very good. Students don't hate group work, like as can be often the case. That everyone has a job, they form connections with their cohort, and it held each student accountable for keeping up with the material. The lectures, I appreciate the comment. That was very helpful and give personal attention. That's kind of my teaching philosophy, is to try to figure out where each student is and design a personal teaching plan as best I can for each student. And I just wanted to highlight MBART's support of other UCSC teaching and research activities. Since 2018, MBART has hosted a field trip for the COSMOS program. This is for gifted high school students in STEM fields. And it's a 4-week residential program. And we have brought the students to the air pollution monitoring station at Live Oak. And there was an MBARD staff scientist there that spoke to the students. And it was a very engaging field trip and learned a lot about air pollution issues. And then, as Richard mentioned, there has been some support of my air pollution sensor research. Here you can see a picture of one of the VOC sensors that we are working on, the setup for trying to analyze different VOCs and industrial emissions. So future goals, continued MBART support of ESI 122 with matching contributions from the science division at UCSC. Ultimate goals are, as Richard mentioned, workforce development and education, and technology transfer from UCSC research to MBARD and other air pollution districts to demonstrate the importance of research science to policy decisions and enforcement. So that wraps up my talk. Nice double rainbow right there. And I'd be happy to take any questions. Really appreciate your time and your support, and look forward to continuing the partnership.
Thank you very much, Peter. It's great to see the impact of the district at this level, and certainly in higher education. Very cool. Very, very cool. And neat to see students in action. Some of us remember those days, right? So let's see, are there any questions from board members? We'll start there. And we'll just quickly go to the public before maybe just some commentary. Oh, wait, was there a hand? Oh, yeah. Oh, there's Director LaBar.
Just a comment, Chair. I mean, amazing presentation. I'm just heartened to see that kind of collaboration. Great class. And again, thank the Air Resource District for working so closely. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, you bet. Thank you. Just quickly to the public here. Don't see anything. Siri, anything come in?
Nothing came in.
Okay, just final comments maybe by Rich. Thanks for setting this up. It's just terrific. Rich, you want to just close it out with anything at all?
Yes, I'm back. Thanks, Chair and board members. Yeah, this has been really a rewarding experience. We were initially providing money out of our Clean Air Fund, which is where some of our fine and penalty monies reside. We carved off a portion of that to help support the program. And as it becomes more successful, Peter's actually requesting about half the money moving forward that we've given in previous years. And we can afford it. We would like to continue. It's in our budget. And I think this is something that all institutions should be doing, is utilizing and taking advantage of the research institutions in their backyard. And why should we have to go up to UC Davis? Peter's a brilliant scientist, and he's got great students, and I can see the benefits really paying off significantly in the future. if we keep this going. And of course, we're trying to get younger students as well. And we've delved into that in the past in high school and junior high, and we used to have a calendar art contest, but this is really where the rubber meets the road, and these guys can really work to actually come up with breakthroughs and advance the science at this level. So it's a little bit more than just education. We're actually getting practical support back. So we hope to continue this, and we'll certainly be yelling from the rooftops to let people know how successful this program has been. And it's probably going to be a model for their districts and other academic institutions.
Great. Well, thank you. We'll close this out. And to the team and to the slugs out there, thank you very much. So great to see you.
Thanks, you guys.
Thanks. It was a pleasure.
We'll move on to our next item. I see Jennifer there, and I think Randall's still with us, and there's Will. So very good. Our next item is a report on our PARS, another post-employment benefits trust accounts. So with that, I think we'll turn it over to Rosa to get it kicked off. If you'd like to do introductions, and then we'll go into the presentation.
Yes, thank you. Good afternoon, members of the board. I wanted to introduce the members of PARS and Highmark. So we're doing a presentation on our OPEB and pension trusts. Just attached to our package, I have the December 31st, 2021 report, and I had them updated for this presentation. So this is actually reflective of March 31st, 2022. And we have Will Rogers from PARS. He's our client services coordinator. Jennifer Meza, she's a manager from PARS. And then Randall Yurchak, he's a portfolio manager for Highmark Capital. So with that, I'd like to let them go ahead and take the floor.
Okay, thank you, Rosa. Can everybody hear me okay? Okay, thank you. Well, good afternoon, Board of Directors. Thank you so much for having us here this afternoon. We're gonna be talking about your Section 115 program that helps you put money aside to pay down your pension and OPEB, or also known as retiree healthcare obligations. We don't administer the actual benefits that you provide to your employees. We just administer this pre-funding vehicle. If we go to slide number three, here are the different parties within the program that help the district administer this plan. Will and I are from PARS, the main administrators and ongoing consultants for the program. All of the assets are not held by PARS. They're actually held by US Bank, the trustee. And then Randy is from Highmark Capital Management. They're the ones assisting you with the investments on the account. Slide number four. The program itself is what's called a combination trust. It allows the district to put money aside for retiree healthcare obligations and pension related obligations as well. There's no restrictions on the types of contributions that go into the plan. You can fund the plan at any point in time. It's very flexible with taking funds out of the trust. Again, we don't actually administer the benefits themselves, but we administer this vehicle where the district can put money aside. You have the ability to diversify those assets into equity exposure, unlike your general fund, and have the potential to earn a greater rate of return on there so that you can use those assets to pay down these liabilities in the future. I'm gonna go ahead and turn it over to Will. He's gonna discuss the first portion of the account, which is the OPEB plan, and then he'll turn it back to me to discuss the pension portion, and then we'll go over the investments.
Great. Thank you, Jennifer. On this slide here, we can see again a summary of the OPEB side of the program. It started back in May 2013. The current investment strategy is what we call the Balanced Highmark Plus. It is an active strategy. Randy will touch on in just a moment exactly what that's comprised of, as well as how it's been performing historically. The bottom half here of this page represents the data up to the most recent valuation date of March 31st, 22. We can see the initial contribution back in October 2013 of the $150,000. Since then, an additional $657,000 for total contributions of $807,000. No disbursements have been taken out of the OPEB side of the trust. Total investment earnings since the inception of the program, exception of the OPEB side, $418,000 for a current account balance, about $1.2 million. Now on the next slide here, we can see each fiscal year end and the contributions in each plan year. No disbursements have been taken out. And again, total assets on the right-hand column there. Next, I will go over the actuarial report provided by McLeod Watts that provides a summary of the district's liability. On this page here, we can see a demographic study on the most recent measurement date, which is June 30, 2020, that shows 30 active participants, 13 retirees for a total of 43 participants, according to this report. On the next page here, again, data taken directly from this actuarial evaluation report. On the right-hand column, continuing with the most recent measurement date, the actuary provided a discount rate or an expected rate of return of assets at 6.2% with a total OPEB liability or liability for providing this OPEB benefit, about $1.27 million. Fiduciary net position or assets set aside in a trust at this snapshot in time was $946,000. With the unfunded or the net OPEB liability, about $329,000. Again, at this snapshot in time, put the district about a 74% funded. Now I added a footnote at the bottom, and as I previously just mentioned, the assets as of March 31st were a little bit over $1.2 million, which actually puts the district around a 94% funded. So I just want to point out, you know, we have maybe 5% of our agencies this well off on their funding status. It really attributes to the year-over-year contributions that the district has made, as well as Randy and his team with their investment performance. So again, just want to point out that the district has done a phenomenal job year-over-year with those contributions. Now, the last two line items, the actuarially determined contribution, is a note that the actuary provides, and it's really a recommendation to make a contribution at that amount year over year. And as we saw on the previous page, the district has actually contributed more than that, which ultimately, again, leads to that 94% funded status. And then the last line item there, that annual benefit payment, is what the district is paying on a yearly basis to fund these retiree medical benefits. So with that, I'll go ahead and turn it over to Jennifer, and she can touch on the pension side of the program.
Thank you, Will. Now we'll talk about the second portion of the account, is what you're putting aside to address your CalPERS liabilities. This portion of the plan started back in 2018. And for this plan, you're in the moderately conservative strategy, so much more conservative investment approach. Bottom portion are the assets for this specific plan. You've contributed a total of $500,000. No money has been taken out of the trust to pay down those liabilities at this point in time. Total investment earnings, about $38,000, with the account balance as of March 31st at $533,000. Slide number 10 just shows you this information based on a fiscal year end, so you could see when the contributions came in and how the total assets have been doing every fiscal year. Slide number 11 now goes over your liability through CalPERS. This is directly through the CalPERS website. We compare the 2019 numbers with the 2020. We did see about a 10% increase in your unfunded liability, going from 8.8 million to 9.7 million on there. The funded status at CalPERS, about 72.5% on there. We did see some great returns last year from CalPERS at 21.3%. That should help that funded status on the account for future valuations. But at the same time, they're lowering the discount rate on there. And of course, the current market volatility will continue to put pressure on your funded status directly through CalPERS. Based on the latest numbers at the bottom of the page, you see your employer contribution amounts. That is currently looking like it's going to possibly increase by about 40%. From $965,000 to $1.3 million on there. And that's why districts continue to put money aside for pension because of this volatility, these constant rate changes. You want to start preparing today for those future increases on the account. Now we went ahead and touched over the administrative portion and the liability for each plan. Are there any questions from the board before we turn it over to the investments?
See if there's any questions here. Can't see everybody's hand. Let me just scan down here. I think we're doing good so far, Jennifer. Okay. So yeah, why don't we keep going?
All right. Go ahead, Randy.
All right. Thank you, Jennifer. So With regards to the investments, so of course I manage the investment portfolio and with the PARS team at Highmark Capital. In regards to the investments, there's the two plans. OPEB is in the balanced Highmark Plus investment objective, and pension is in the moderately conservative Highmark Plus investment objective. These are two of our five investment objectives that range in different mixes of stocks and bonds, of course, correspondingly with different levels of risk. The OPEB in the balanced Highmark Plus is has a 50 to 70% range for stocks, a 30 to 50% range for bonds, 0 to 20 for cash. And then pension is in the moderately conservative investment objective, 20 to 40% stocks, 58 percent bonds. So a little bit less risk, or quite a bit less risky than the balanced, but of course the trade-off is with less risk. There's less potential return on a go-forward basis. So the one other point to make is that we offer two different styles in each of these investment objectives, the styles being the active, which is what the two plans are in. The active is using actively managed mutual funds to seek to outperform the benchmark relative to our passive style that uses passively managed ETFs that just mimic the benchmark. So as far as where we're sitting right now in terms of our allocation, we are at underweight stocks a little bit. We think that there's some more volatility ahead in the stock market. So we're underweight stocks, a little bit overweight bonds, and about in line on cash. As far as the performance goes, just this is a quick snapshot. We'll get into the details in just a second. OPEB, again, as you can see, it's in the balanced objective. It has higher returns over time and since inception than the pension, which is moderately conservative, less stocks. The return, I want to make a point here on in terms of the return. We generate long-term return assumptions for each of our investment objectives. So these are 30-year time horizon return assumptions. We expect the balanced, which is what the OPEB is in, to do 6.22% long-term return. So just a point made, the point being here is that the plan has generated return on an annualized basis over the last 9 years almost, exceeding that return objective. So, you know, that's great to see in terms of we're definitely, you know, more return than what we'd expected in terms of the investment objective. For pension, we expect 5.15% long-term return. So even though the short time frame has definitely exceeded that hurdle. Okay, if we go ahead and flip to the next slide. I'll provide detail, a breakdown of performance across the different, what we call sub-asset classes and asset classes within the plan, just to give you context of where returns have come from. And then also it gives you a comparison between the return of the plan and the returns of the benchmark. Again, this uses actively managed mutual funds so that they are trying to exceed the benchmark. So from the top, cash, the left justified black line item represents the return of the plan, the indented line item, and italicized amber is the benchmark. So as the top, you can see cash equivalents, this hasn't yielded anything for the last year plus. That is really, of course, as you know, because Fed reduced interest rates to zero due to the financial crisis. So the good thing here is actually returns will go higher in the next over the course of this year because Fed is increasing interest rates quite quickly. That's at least what the market expects currently. Of course, we had the 25 basis point increase just recently, probably another 50 in the next meeting. So we're going to ratchet up that return on the cash very, very quickly. Fixed income line item. This has actually had a down year over the last year timeframe, and of course down quarter over the last 3 months. Really, this is because interest rates are higher, yields are higher on bonds because the long the market is expecting inflation, expecting growth. It really all boils down to the release of QE, basically quantitative easing by the Fed, and in response to the higher inflationary numbers. So basically, that's what's dragging up the yields. Higher yields mean lower bond prices, so that's what we saw. The good thing, silver lining, is that our fixed income bond managers exceeded the benchmark returns. As you can see, 3.65% for the bond the bonds in the plan, and then that beat the benchmark of minus 4.15%. So stocks were one out over the last year, up 6%. Of course, we saw some give back to that in the last quarter, down almost 5%. Generally speaking, most of the asset classes, you know, generally within, you know, shouting distance of the benchmarks. Large cap funds did underperform. Really, that had to do with our growth managers. Growth has had some volatility as of late. Underperformed there. And then as far as the small cap goes, that outperformed our value manager, really did well against the benchmark. And then finally, just a note, because it's such a big number on the 1 year variance, our REIT funds actually is a benchmark fund. It just doesn't correspond on a one-for-one basis relative to the benchmark that we list below there, but it is a benchmark fund. Over the long term, you can see the returns pretty much are in line with the benchmark. On the next slide. So we're all about full disclosure. These are all the funds in the plan, as well as how much we own of them. We can also tweak up or down these the concentrations of each if we think that one area will do better than the next. Currently, we're actually underweight into the international side. Really, of course, that has to do with a persistent problem from the Ukraine-Russian conflict bleeding over into European region, which is a big portion of the international investments for obvious reasons, of course, with regards to the spillover there. 16 is the return of the moderately conservative portfolio. So really the breakdown same for everything's the same in terms of the type of investments, the funds itself are the same. It just, the difference is the percentages. So we have less in stocks, more in bonds. So that's it basically is the only change to this is relative to the return on the bottom there. And then 17 is the mix of investments for the plan. Again, less equities than balanced. The OPEB and more bonds. And then 18 shows the returns for each of the funds relative to each other and relative to the benchmark on a longer, on a different time period basis. So you can see 1 month, 3 year, 3 month, year to date, 1 year, 3, 5, 10. So the areas that we have done pretty well in recently, small cap, as you can see, the Undiscovered Managers Behavioral Value Fund was the one I mentioned. Did quite a bit better than the benchmark. That was, of course, offset a little bit by the weakness in the small cap, the growth category. And the last page shows the bond managers and their performance. So just to wrap up, back to the discussion slide, just make a quick couple points. Earnings have been pretty strong. Still remain positive in terms of earnings. While that's sort of tempering recently, it means that the companies are still strong, able to weather some of the challenges with regards to inflation. We think that because the Fed, of course, is going to be continuing to raise interest rates, you've got concerns, uncertainties with regards to inflation. I know, as I mentioned, we are a little bit underweight stocks at the present time. Geopolitical uncertainty, of course, as well, probably going to persist throughout, at least to some extent throughout the year. So it's effectively, the cost of investing in stocks is the downside. But if you look over time, the down periods are much less in terms of time than the up periods. And of course, after you get through the challenging time periods, you'll start to resume an uptrend in terms of risk assets, especially stocks. Well, we do think that this year is going to be challenging next year, assuming that you don't have any, change to the geopolitical landscape or the inflationary landscape. We think things could are likely to improve. And of course, one of the big reasons for this in our calculus is that inflation does get under control throughout the year. Any questions?
To see real quick, I'm looking for hands. Thank you very much. Let's see here. Pretty good. You know, as we talked about in the personnel nominating committee meeting, we might hold you guys to the hope that things will get a little better. Okay. Siri, you seen any?
No, hands up and nothing received at the district office.
Okay. This is really valuable. I commented in the budget personnel nominating committee meeting that this sort of report is quite helpful. And quite frankly, it's more than I receive in any of the other boards and even at the city level where I serve as a council member. So thank you. We'll go to the public. Okay, seeing none. Okay, good. Sorry. Okay, so I think we're good. And this is a report. There is no action needed. To Will, to Randall, and to Jennifer, thank you for your service and for keeping, you know, our employees' money for retirement in good hands. So thank you very much. We'll go ahead and say bye-bye. To the board members, we have one item left, and it is a action item, and it's amendments to our employment agreement with our APCO.
Chairman Shane, can I take a roll again, just to make sure?
Oh, that we have quorum. Let me count really quick.
Yeah, let's do that.
4, 5, 6. Wait, oh, yeah. Okay, that helps.
Okay.
Ooh, we have 6, it looks like, right? Do I have that right?
When I just call out the roll again, that makes it easier.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Director Kuznicki.
I'm here.
Thank you. Director Carbone.
Here.
Director Friend.
Here.
Director Labar.
Present.
Chair McShane.
Yep.
Director Eskew. I think she
left. Yeah, we lost her. Doggone it.
Director Story.
I'm here.
Director Brown.
Here. I. Sorry.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. We're fine.
Barely.
Sorry. Barely. I didn't mean to scare.
All right. Okay. Okay. Good. All right. So we have one more item left. It's an action item, and it's an amendment to our APCO's contract. I know we've seen this. We've discussed it. And I can't say how responsive, helpful, proactive, and seasoned our APCO is. I just really want to sing praises to and about Rich as our fearless leader. So I don't know if there's any other questions at this time or comments before we go to the public and bring it to a vote. Okay, very quickly to the public. Don't see any hands. Siri, anything received?
Nothing received at the district office.
Okay. Again, just want to really thank Rich for his service. And at this time, we will ask for a motion if there's one.
All right, Mr. Chair, this is Zach. I will happily make this motion and also appreciate Mr. Stedman's work and also acknowledge the fact that Mr. Stedman has proactively contacted the board over the course of our multiple down years to say that he would forego any sort of cost of living or any sort of raise during that time. He is somebody who's been remarkably fiscally responsible, always looked out for himself last and made sure that the employees were taken care of first. So now that we're here in a better position, it's definitely appropriate. This does not even get him back to where he would have been should he have been receiving what he was entitled to along the way, but I'll happily make the motion for the recommended actions.
Thank you. Thank you for comments. Okay, great. Moved and seconded. Thank you for that commentary. I think that's very important. Certainly, as we've looked at other APCOs in the region, this helps. But certainly, we have one of the best at the state, regional, and national level. With that, let's call the roll. Siri?
And that Labar was the second?
That's correct.
Thank you. All right. I will start with Chair McShane.
Yes.
Thank you. Director Story.
Aye.
Director Brown.
Aye.
Director Friend.
Aye.
Director Carbone.
Aye.
Director Kuznicki.
Aye.
Director LeVar.
Aye.
And double checking, Director Eskew, have you joined us? Okay. Approved unanimously.
Thank you very much. Well, this concludes our business for the day. I want to thank those that stuck through it. And our next meeting is scheduled for May 18th of this year. So with that, we'll stand adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Happy Earth Day.
That's it.